The underdog is howling.
Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in as we continue along in the spring season. We're calling this Masters and MLB's, Bear. Is that fair?
It sounds about right. Yeah, the M&M pod.
How are we doing?
Are you a peanut M&M guy, by the way, or no?
Yes. There's not even a conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand the people with the allergies and all that stuff now, but I am, yes, peanut M&Ms for the win. I'll just say that.
Final four was good. Saturday was bad. Saturday was a debacle. But we bounced back nice on Monday with Carolina plus the points. And Matic over 2.5-3 prop. That was done by, the 8-minute timeout. The one bad thing was somehow I played early in the first half. I took an under 149.5 for a total. And then right before halftime, it dipped to 142.5. So I had a nice 7-point middle on the total. And of course, it landed on 141. So if either Kansas could have inbounded the ball properly and shot free throws, or Kansas would have fouled North Carolina like they should have right on the inbounds, and North Carolina hit a free throw and either made the second or missed, but I would have hit it. So we're a little disappointed about that, but we were in a good position because I had the North Carolina future. So I picked a good spot to hop in on Kansas money line to kind of guarantee a profit on that. And of course I got I don't know what these people like I get like a stick to football tweet, and I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? I had North Carolina plus the points and Manic prop, like it won, like, but whatever. It's all good.
A lot of nitpickers out there.
How was your time in New Orleans?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It was real. I mean, you got the full effect this past year with game day and you guys being on the road, and we were able to meet up at the national title game, capacity crowd, just the vibe. And that's the best part. And that's why the Final Four is my favorite event to go to is, and I explained to people all weekend, it gets better as it goes. I mean, Friday night, I got in late. There was flight issues. I just did my lap down Bourbon, didn't walk in one place. I just wanted to see the destruction, and it was full go. I'll say this.
As advertised.
Saturday is phenomenal. Always try and go out and get the vibe, grab a lunch before that. We're, doing game day and that whole deal, but went out, got lunch, and do all our pregame stuff. And then as you're in the game, like you just walking around, what's great is you have all four teams really thinking they have a chance to win a title. Mm-hmm. And that's what's awesome. But they're always, I think I've been the nine. This was my ninth Final Four. And there's always like one outlier. There's not Cinderella, but there's one that's always like, hey, travel is tough for this team and it's hard, or this team's been this, six of the last, 10, and the Alabama effect, I call it, where teams where their fans are just really running low on funds because they're going to see their team try and win a title so many years in a row. But when you go in the dome and by the under 16, under 12 timeout of that first half, even though it wasn't a good game, the Villanova Kansas game, I went up all the way to the top, and the Superdome, that press box, there's nothing higher.
Yeah, we're way up there. Yeah.
And I just went up to get a look, and it's easily the most split. If you just do a pie chart in the four, the most easily split and well attended Final Four by all four fan bases. Like it was dead split. And then Carolina Duke comes, obviously, and not one Villanova or Kansas fan left. Everybody stayed.
It was,
and the buildup was just incredible. And, Sunday comes, which is, I did part of my take with our guys, and it's just one of my sneaky favorite days because it's easier to get a meal on Sunday because, losers are out of town.
Sometimes tickets fall through from the losers as well, if you're looking.
And I'll tell you, the tickets were, because then Kansas and Carolina came in strong Sunday and Monday. And those tickets, man, God bless. Good for the ticket brokers. I was talking to one guy that said between WrestleMania And the Final Four was the best day he's had, best weekend in 10 years. So those were all guys I always thought about during the pandemic. Like, what do those guys do now? I mean, you talk about.
I know someone.
Yeah.
Who his brother is a broker out in L.A. And he, yeah, it wasn't pretty. He got hit. He got hit pretty hard. I know that for sure.
And so, I mean, the game was the game. Monday, incredible. I might have gotten into the Kansas post championship party. And wow. After a little bit, Coach Self and I are very friendly, coming on the show with Scott all these years. And he, you know, grabs me by the neck. He's like, "Can you believe that?" And I said, "You know, everybody was feeling good." I said, "Coach, you know, if Bad Beach was on this week, he would have been the cause of it." I said, "That out of bounds." I said, "Was that out of bounds play designed for him to run out of bounds?" And he almost lost. Like, he's like, "I'm glad." He's like, "I'm just sitting there thinking." I'm like, "What the heck?" And I'll tell you, I saw it in Manic did it against Duke. I think Wendell Moore did it a couple times. Villanova got caught a couple times. Being up on that elevated floor, guys really lose.
Yes.
Sense of the court, like they feel and like they have extra
room. The way the lines are as well, yeah. It's very, very difficult to. And a lot of people killed the crew for not talking about in that timeout prior to the Carolina's final possession about not. They didn't mention once about the possibility that Kansas should foul here immediately. But the possession prior to that, before that inbounds play, Raf actually right away. This is a really difficult spot to inbound the ball because of the angle, yada yada. And he was spot on for that. So like people kind of crushed them for not pointing out that the Kansas should really foul and not allow them to try and tie the game with three. But Raf was dead on within the possession prior about they might have some trouble here inbounding the ball.
And you know it goes down. And I'll tell you, being around, I mean, all the former players for Kansas, you forget how many guys they've had. Man, it's so cool to see. The way Coach Self has embraced the guys that were there prior to him, you know, just seeing so many of those guys that played for Roy and talking to guys before Saturday, you know, just, "Hey, where are you sitting?" And I'm like, "Whoa, you're pretty good. You're set up." And every single one of those former players said, "Coach Self always does our former players right." And
as you should.
It's really, really cool. And you just see the bond they have. Just with everything, going back to Lawrence, and now I think I'm on the hook because I guaranteed Coach I would come back because he's really mad that I haven't been out there yet. So that's a whole another ordeal. I will say this: I think getting back to the game, I think McCormick should have been MOP.
How wasn't he? He was. Ogbaji was like the fourth best player for Kansas in that title game.
He starts the second half 1 of 5 from the line.
I know.
Like, think about
Christian Brown was the best player on Monday night. But how was McCormick not the most outside? I
was shocked.
Because it was funny because we talked about this, Doug and I, on Daily Wager on Monday beforehand. And he said, if you like Kansas to win, wouldn't you rather just lay 120, whatever it was, with Ogbaji to win the most outstanding player of the Final Four as opposed to the 210 with, and I said, absolutely not. I said, I think there's too much risk involved. I said, what if McCormick has a great game, or we've seen like the Luke Hancock factor, or Dante DiVincenzo, someone has a great game and wins. But like, I literally turned it off after the when they were on the podium, and and I went upstairs and started scrolling through my phone, and I see like people laughing about like how did McCormick? And I'm like, McCormick didn't win.
Yeah,
and I was just like, you got to be kidding me.
Very surprised. Very surprising. I feel bad for those people that had him for that future. Because
by the way, was Coach's hair perfect at the post game as well?
Perfect.
His hair is always perfect. It's amazing.
Did you know?
He doesn't gray either.
No, he is good to go there. I will say that. But again, congrats to Kansas. I think it's as likable a fan base as there is in college sports.
Because their football team is so bad, and like they have like the
what's happened to the, like, and this is the thing, like everybody goes back, you know, with Krzyzewski, right? You know, everybody loves bringing up the Lehigh loss, the Mercer loss, you know, all the bad losses. Kansas, and they're right there. When you go so many times, it's going to find you, right? The bad loss, I mean, you're going to get upset if you go every single year for the last however amount of years. So to see them just be not affected by who they're going to play, watching the Duke Carolina game, and then just say, you know, we're good enough here. We believe in Coach Self. We know it's not the most talented team. And I appreciate their the way they go about things with their fans. Okay. You know, in the SEC, I think, you know, Alabama, there's been obviously there's some arrogance there now. You know, LSU's got the crazy factor. Georgia had that starving feeling of we've done everything else. We have everything else. We need this. And there's just and you know, we're around that stuff more. I'll say that too. So I just kept telling, you know, saw Coach Norm Roberts after that. And I just said, I'm just so damn happy for you guys. Like, you deserve, like, everybody at some point deserves it. They just, you know, think about what happened in 2020. Like, they were the best. They were going to be the number one overall seed, probably his best chance for a title. And then I did a couple other shows down there, and I woke up Monday and Sunday thinking about Dayton in 2020. Like, that's never going to happen again.
Correct.
Never. And I know a guy that was on the Dayton staff, got a chance to hang with him, and, you know, they all got together, that former Dayton crew, and just talked about how, you know, this should have been them. And it's crazy what all these teams have been through. And that's why I just thought it was so cool to see, and really happy for that Kansas fan base. That's all.
Totally fair and understood.
I did go get some domination done at Felix's with some oysters. I mean, how they churn them out there is just unbelievable. They added a fried edition now with some buffalo on there. Unbelievable. And the charbroils are just insane. Insane to me. Insane. And I ate enough gumbo to...
Did we hit up either GW Finn's or Jacquo's?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got that in. Our boy D from LSU got me over to Mr. B's, where Coach O, that's Coach O's favorite gumbo there is. Man, that thing is stocked. I'll tell you that. And Fat Harry's, thanks again for the wings with the Part of My Take guys. That was fun also.
Cool
to see all those people show up. So we got it all in. We're good. And now it turns to Augusta. And that's the other question I have to ask every time I'm out at an event. Hey, we'll see you in Augusta. Or are you going to Augusta?
No,
not on that cut. But I will say, if I did have a choice, and I know I'm wrong for this, I choose the Final Four. And that's probably not going to get two straight weekends. But next year in Houston, maybe that's the year we look at Augusta.
The access and enjoyment outside of the venue is the edge of the Final Four. The event itself on the course,
it's
not. But it's neither you or I will be there. I'm no longer a part of that coverage team. Unfortunately, it's too bad.
All right, let's get into it with the odds. Rahm's still the favorite out there. I see 10-1. Justin Thomas feels like I was watching some, you know, Golf Channel last night with all the stats, whether it's tee to green or what, you know, how good he is distance wise coming in, which you want to be in this tournament. He's feels like he's firing up. I see him at 12-1 now.
I don't get that with him, man.
Yeah,
the only top 10 that he's had in Augusta came in the November Masters. Like, he just, for whatever reason, he just has struggled there. And people are pointing to Bones being on his bag now to kind of help him around the course. But I don't know. JT's someone that he's up against enough big names and head-to-heads in those groups that I think you can fear. If you fade him, you might be coming out ahead on Sunday.
Yeah, so that, I mean, you just go down. It's all the familiar faces. You know, your top five favorites. We said Rahm, JT, Scheffler, Cameron Smith, who's the guy I would take out of the probably top 10 odds guys. I just think he's not fazed by anything. DJ, obviously, the win a couple years ago. Xander with the collapse last year. And then the guy I have circled too, because I really feel like when he does this, and he's won a couple, but he could get on a Scheffler run, and that's Victor Hovland. I'm just not sure if this is where it's going to start. You know, everybody has their guys. What do you want to start with to win it, or you want to go work? You have anybody? Did you look at any of the odds for to miss the cut? Because I had one guy circled.
I don't play much miss the cut here.
Okay.
Because it is such a limited field event, and you've got the Larry Mizes and the Sandy Lyles and some of the past champions and the amateur qualifiers from around the world coming in. Like, they're guys that have no shot of making the cut. So, like, you really have to be pretty bad, have a bad couple of rounds to miss the cut. And I think that's limited to, like, you take a look at guys who are potentially playing in their first Masters, or maybe guys that aren't necessarily coming in great form, or their course history here just hasn't been that good. But I think that's what makes a lot of people get very concerned about laying prices to make the cut, especially in an event here. Like, is John Rahm going to miss the cut in a place that he's got four straight top tens? Mm-hmm. Probably not.
That's why he's plus 600.
Is Xander Schauffele going to miss the cut? A guy who's got like four straight three top tens in a row, or like whatever it is, like, probably not. So, like, I don't have an issue laying a big number with some of these guys to miss the cut. But, like, Tiger's the guy everyone's talking about, miss the cut. But, like I said, be careful. He knows the course, like the back of his hand. If he's showing up, he really thinks he's not going to embarrass himself. And with so many people that have zero chance to make the cut, he can't go out and shoot 72, 73. I mean, the cut line the last two April Masters has been three over, made it. So, like, if he doesn't think he can go out and shoot three over for a couple of rounds, then he wouldn't be here. So I'd be careful if you're thinking about playing Tiger to miss the cut.
Well, I'm just going down the list here on DraftKings. To miss the cut, he's the only guy that's minus money. He's minus 115. And then, you know, there's some bigger names that are close to even money. DeChambeau plus 105. Patrick Reed plus 135, and then it gets bigger as you go down. And you mentioned Rahm. He's plus 600 to miss the cut. If you want to do that, you probably could get really funky if you would want to. They're offering some make the cut parlays if you wanted to do that, where so many, you talk about the cut and how different it is, but to try and help your money wise, if you want to do the make the cut parlays, those are offered. So, going back to the top names at the board, are you going top five, top tens? Do you have a bunch of guys there?
I played Rahm top 10 at plus money. Like I said, for
plus 120, reasons. I see that.
Yeah, I saw plus 115. T5, T7, T9, T4, his last 4 years. So, like, since that first time around Augusta, so I think to win is a little short, but I'm gonna play him. Played him top 10. I also played him to make it eagle in the tournament. You get 16 chances, and really 15 is a gettable hole. 13 sometimes, 8 probably not so much, but the other one's gettable. Like, you look at his past performance here, he'll make an eagle here, I would think, at some point. I did the same thing with Brooks Koepka, by the way. He was like minus 165 to make an eagle, and I played Brooks to make, because he's owned 15. He's made a bunch of eagles on 15 rather. So I played him, and then the other I played top 20 Scottie Scheffler, top 20. Got a little conservative with him. A lot of pressure on him. He's seen as well, but he's got a couple of top 20s already here from his first two starts, which is pretty damn impressive. I played Russell Henley to finish in the top 20 at plus money. He hasn't played here in a while, but his game is kind of rejuvenated and kind of like this Renaissance deal. And then I played a top 20 parlay, like you talked about. I don't necessarily play a lot of these quote unquote gimmick type parlays that are offered, but at DraftKings, they offered Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, and Patrick Cantlay all to finish in the top 20 at plus 475. And you go back and look, since his debut, Xander, the first time around, it's difficult for a lot of people with your sight lines and figuring out the greens. But then your second trip here is usually where you're more comfortable on the course. So you throw the first event out for these guys. Xander has gone T2, T17, and T3. Morikawa, T18. Cantlay, T9, T17. And he missed the cut last year because he wasn't fully healthy. That's a top 20 in all but one instance for those guys. So, like, I thought the odds were pretty good there if you can just you can get almost 5-1 on three of the top, what, 12 players probably in the world. I think they're all in the top 12 in the world rankings. Like, I took that, and then I played Cantley and Morikawa to win top 10 and top 20. Those are the two guys that I kind of focused on, one of those two guys to wind up ultimately winning. So we'll see. I got like 12 golfers to close out some cross sports that I made at Circa. So hopefully I'm naked on Koepka to win, and I'm naked on JT to win. So we'll see what happens. I can fool around a little bit on Saturday or Sunday if need be.
Yeah, that's the other point before I threw in a couple things I'm going to do here. When the cut is made, I love going back and seeing what the reposted odds are to win, because that's where you get your guys that can go out Saturday early, depending on what the way the course is, and they get a jump start on the weekend. So just something to think about when the weekend passes, if your guys didn't work out. And like I said, it's Augusta, it's the Masters. It's why it's the best major there is. And it's because there's so much unexpected stuff is. So don't tie all your things. I know everybody wants the best odds and getting it in before Thursday, but there's always some good stuff after the cut is made Friday night going into Saturday.
Yeah. I'd rather wait and take maybe 5-1 on Jon Rahm as opposed to 9-1 on Jon Rahm right now after seeing some evidence. Yep. And you brought it up. Saturday was the year Tiger won, 2019. Mm-hmm. Cantley, I think, either made the cut on the number or made the cut just inside the cut line. He went out on Saturday, went ridiculously low, and there he was on the back nine on Sunday. He had the lead.
Yeah.
So I think we've seen Justin Rose, I think, that might have been the Open Championship, made the cut on the number. And I think at one point on Sunday, he wound up tying for the lead. So, like, yeah, we've seen a lot of craziness happen with guys who have the opportunity with no pressure to go out and post a number.
Yeah, a couple names. I have Cantlay to win a major this year. Okay. I think it's going to happen. This would be great to get it out of the way if he could do this one. Well, one of the bombs, I'm always surprised at his price, and I end up taking him every year here, is Oosthuizen. He's 45-1 now. I just love the way his game is. I love how nothing ever affects him, the way he plays. So that would be the guy off the radar that I'm taking a shot with. Morikawa is another one where I still say his good creeps other guys out so much because of how firm he is with the irons and how he's just deadpan, man. Like, his killer instinct and is never giving away any emotion, facial expressions. I just love that about him. And I think it gets to the other guys with how the hell he can do that. I mentioned Cam Smith is a guy in the top five or 10 odds wise that I would take to win this. And DJ, it feels like the match play, he almost came back against Scheffler. It feels like his game is back to where we expect it. I'd be wary of him hovering around up there. Also, and like I said, Hovland's the guy I circled. I got him at 20-1. I just feel like when he gets it rolling, man, it just feels like he could just tear up that back nine when he needs to do
Can
it.
Can he putt well enough? That's the question I have.
No, that's what it is.
But
getting it there, there's a few guys I'll take over him. So I think he's poised to make a run, and that's why I just feel like 20-1 still on him is worth the value. So
it's funny. We talked about the putting. Andy North and a few years back had said, like, you talk about the green, talk about the course, and like, well, what would you shoot? And you have those like ridiculous conversations. And Andy was saying that he's like, I could take you out on the course and I could choose a spot on the green for you, and you'd be hitting one and you would struggle to break par. That's how difficult the greens are there.
Jeez, that's nuts. Oh, one other bomb. Corey Connors, 55-1. I'll take a shot with that.
I'm glad you mentioned him, because he was only like -200 to be low Canadian. And it's basically a head to head with Mackenzie Hughes, which.
And Mike Weir. Mike Weir.
Well, yeah, yes, exactly. Masters champion. But like, I was like, wow, Mackenzie Hughes versus. That's the price of a Connors Hughes head to head is like, I saw 185 out there too. I'm like, I would have thought it would have been a little greater than that, especially given how well Connors drives the ball. So yeah, that was something that I would floor. I like Connors' game though. I agree with you.
Yeah. I just love him too because you feel like he's one of these guys that plays every week, and I love that. Mm-hmm. How do you feel Max Homa will do with the added pressure of our friends?
Guarantee.
Yeah.
I don't think Max Homa will be fazed by any of that pressure.
Okay.
I think Max Homa is the kind of guy who's going to go out and play his game and not have any of the outside influences weighing him down. I hope he does make the cut.
Yes. It's better for everybody. How about that?
It is.
First timer, Sam Burns is +210 to miss the cut. I'm going to dabble there. I'm just, okay, just going on. You talked about it with Andy with the putting. I mean, he's been on fire. He's made plenty of money this year already.
Gave me a heart attack at the Valspar.
I just, yeah, that's true. We're going to take a shot at +210 to miss the cut there. That's the one negative bet. I always try and find a first timer, and he's the one this year. Like I said, it's a flyer, but it feels like it happens to more than not. I could be totally wrong, but you have the database. I do not.
you mentioned Connors as well. I actually played him in a head-to-head with Shane Lowry as well.
Okay.
Lowry's played pretty well this year on that Florida swing, but his history at Augusta isn't – I mean, it's okay – but you got Connors, who's got top tens the last couple of years. So I took Connors and the way his game is as well right now. I took Koepka head to head against Hovland.
Okay.
That was one that I took just because of Koepka's course familiarity, his ability to drive the ball, make an eagle when he needs to, and Hovland's in kind of uncertainty about these greens. And I played Joaquin Niemann against Sung Jae-im. I think Sung Jae-im is one of these guys that a lot of people think eventually is going to win a major. But if you go back and look at his major championship history, the only top 15 he has in his, I think it's 10 majors, 8 majors, is the November Masters. Like, he's missed the cut in half of them. So, like, I'm not sure. Niemann got that recent win out of the Genesis. I think he's someone whose game is probably on the rise. Not that Im's isn't, but I thought Niemann is a slight favorite over Im was worth the play. And I played Kevin Na against Webb Simpson as well. If you look at Webb's, I mean, I didn't realize how poor Webb has been this year. Like, his iron play and his approach play is not nearly as good as what it's been in terms of the rankings. He's gone 61st cut and T48 in his last three stroke plays. His numbers off the tee are even worse than they normally are. And Na comes off a pretty good match play event, very deliberate, very calm. And I mean, has an okay history here, as does Webb. But I just think the current form kind of favors Na on that, especially at even money. So those were the four head-to-heads that I played as well.
All right. Anything else Masters-wise? I'm looking at these odds to make the cut. Whoa. Rom -1400. You could have that.
I do.
Do you? Wow.
Oh yeah.
Tiger.
That's the
problem. Tiger's basically a pick'em on both sides of it.
Yeah, I'm gonna let that one go. I would play him to make the cut, but in case the weather gets to him and his back is really ouchy here, so that's the only concern I have about the weather and the cool weather really affecting Tiger. That would be the concern I have there, but. That's the problem when you have these apps and you see your balance in there, and it's like imaginary money. Oh yeah, I'll lay 14, 15
exactly
to make the cut. That doesn't matter. It's not real money.
No, it's there.
And then Kentucky loses to St. Peter's.
Is your Masters betting sheet, if you were going to print it out, these slips, you know, you just bet your bet slip. If you printed it out, is it longer than your grocery list? Your grocery receipt when you check out?
No.
Okay.
All right. That's because the grocery receipt, I mean, they add filler to that all the time. You save $2.87 this trip. For the year, your savings are $68.49. Next trip, I haven't gone too crazy, other than the make miss the cuts are the things that I have really like playing all those guys to make the cut. That's my biggest investment. I'd rather. While you have to lay more of a price, I'm more of a conservative type better. I don't play a lot of like outright from the starts. I think, like I said, I played Cantley, I played Morikawa, but I'll do the outright stuff in play once the tournament gets going.
Before we move on, I just want to quickly mention a quality ESPN podcast that may interest you with some of the best guys we have at the company. Check out First Draft with Mel Kiper Jr., Todd McShay, and Field Yates. Every Monday and Thursday, the guys are keeping tabs on the NFL draft, which is right around the corner. You can listen to First Draft wherever you get your podcast and watch the show on YouTube. Very good. Have you dove in on the baseball?
I have.
You have?
Yeah.
Where are you on the Diamondbacks?
I've heard differing opinions on the Diamondbacks. I don't think they're very good at all, but I know some people that actually played the over.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I what were they, 67 and a half, I think is what they were?
They are.
And I think it was 67, because I remember looking, and I'm like, wait a minute, they're 67 and a half, and the Rockies are 68 and a half? Like, the Rockies I played over.
Okay.
Team futures, let's see.
I see 68 and a half for Rockies.
Yeah. And what are the Snakes? The Snakes are...
They're not on here.
No, they got to be on there. I'm on draft.
Oh, here they are. 67 and a half.
Yeah. How are they 67 and a half? And the Diamondbacks, who win a ton of home games, added Chris Bryant, added Randall Grichuk. Some of their pitcher, like their pitching is kind of like sneaky okay. Like, And I think it was Jason Weingarten who pointed out last year, like they won like 42 home game, 44 home games last year. Like, if you're doing that, like that's you're getting yourself off to a decent start in terms of going over. But like, you look at that division, I think Arizona's very good. I mean, yeah, you got to deal with the Dodgers. The Giants will probably regress a little bit, but not too much. The Padres will probably regress a little bit without Tatis for a while. So I took the over on Colorado. I thought 68 and a half was a little bit low.
I was looking at the AL Central because I feel like, obviously, the Twins, I like the moves they made with the arms they got. I wish I could find – I want to bet the Royals will win more games than the Tigers and Indians. I feel like either Cleveland or Detroit is going way under.
Oh, well, yeah, I took one of my favorite win total bets is the Tigers under.
Tigers under, okay. Because yeah. I was looking at, I mean, they just signed Ramirez to that contract. Bieber's back. The injury is what it is. But you go up and down that rod, there's not a lot of liking I have to Cleveland. I mean, yeah, they got two all-stars, but, I mean, you're talking about going through a whole season.
Reyes is obviously a good bat at DH. You got Miles Straw, who kind of get on base. Rosario, maybe he'll reach what, I mean, he was a super highly touted guy with the Mets, like, you know.
Yeah.
But
I just feel like there's a lot of inexperience too with the arms.
That's what I think. You're right. I think they're banking on either McKenzie or Savali, and then kind of emerging.
Buddies of mine would be kicking around Cleveland or Detroit, you going on. And I feel like I'm the only one that said Cleveland. Everybody else is on Detroit. And it just feels 77 and a half for the Tigers. And then is it 66 and a half or 70, 76 and a half for the Guardians. So that's, I'm really torn there. Maybe I take both. I would take over Kansas City 74 and a half in that division. Minnesota is obviously 81 and a half. And then obviously the White Sox are the favorite with all the high power they have. You said, was that you on Eloy for most home runs?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what's that?
One of the accessible books in Connecticut had him at 40 to 1, but they would only let me bet $22.
Uh-huh.
So I took my $22 there at 40 to 1, and then I went to DraftKings, and they had him at 30 to 1, and that's where I made my bigger bet. See, I took him at 30 to 1 to win the home run title.
30 to 1, really?
Yeah, I think you look at the numbers that he put up as a rookie in the at-bats, and then you kind of throw out the COVID year, and you throw out last year because of injury. I think he could take a massive leap forward. And I played three other guys to win the home run title all long as well. I know Ronald Acuña is not coming back until May, but okay, he's probably the best player, all around player in baseball. I think him hitting in that park, in that lineup, in that division, against some of the other and those parks as well. I think when he comes back, I think he's going to have a monster year. So I took him at 35-1 to win the home run title. I took him at 8-1 to win the NL MVP. I think he's going to have a massive year. I took a flyer on Randall Grichuk to win the home run title at 70-1. Oh. Now in Colorado, you never know. That's one of those Gil Alexander, I guess, knows or how they have mutual friends. And so it's just kind of I'll have fun with Gil all year and take Grichuk. And then one that I added last night was Brandon Lowe at 60-1. Guy hit 39 home runs last year.
Yeah.
In a friendly park and with a good team and a good lineup, he plays every day. Like, about 61 was a good number there. So those were the four home run guys that I took.
I jumped at some of these matchups on DraftKings. You mentioned Acuña. Soto's plus 100 against Acuña, more regular season home runs. What you feel about Acuña, I feel about Soto.
Yeah.
And it's actually a question I had for you. If you, MLB Network was doing the player rankings at each position, it's pretty fascinating to see. And then they pulled up the right fielders. I mean, talk about being the best position. You got Soto, you got Acuña, you got Judge, you got Harper, you got Mookie Betts. It is a long list of talented players. And, you know, they do a good job with the analytics and all that, but they do factor in defense, which I thought was awesome. But it was,
as you should.
Yeah, no doubt. And it is, it's a star-studded group for sure. The other one I have is Vlad Guerrero Jr. minus 115 against Pete Alonso for most regular season home runs. Those were the two that jumped out to me. I've said it. I think I said it last week on here. I've said it on Daily Wager. I do think Matt Olson to win MVP is a worthy shot. You talked about that park, him going to that park. I think he cut his strikeouts in half last year. Like, that's the stuff. I feel like a guy maturing, knowing the ability he has, and now he's just fine-tuning stuff. I feel like where he's going to be in that lineup and in the talent alone, and I know defense for MVP should be worthy. I'm still mad that Joey Votto won MVP, even though I still don't think he's a good defensive first baseman, but that's a year's past conversation. Devers against Judge, most regular season homers. I
got to take Devers, right?
No, I took Judge there.
See, the problem with so many of these, with not so many, but maybe, is just you're really handicapping health.
Yes. Like, oh, yeah.
That's why I would take Devers. Like, you know, Aaron Judge is going to, at some point, he's going to miss 30 games.
I hear you. He's got more access to cheap home runs, though. That's why I look at it in that park.
All right.
Pitchers, anything there? Can Burns re-up again?
He could.
I feel
I
wouldn't bet him to win the Cy Young or anything, though.
No, but I would. Would you bet Garrett Cole at 6-1 or whatever it is, plus 6? I wouldn't. Like, I think AL Cy Young is wide open. Like, amongst the guys at the top, I would think Bieber would be the guy that I would bet if I had to bet one of the short shots. But I took a ridiculous flyer on Syndergaard at 45-1 to win AL Cy Young. Like, his last start was really, really good in the Cactus League. Can he stay healthy? And he, of course, you have the shadow of Otani as well. So it's probably throwing away $100, but at 45-1 for a guy who has Cy Young type stuff in a division where you've got the A's who are worthless, the Mariners, who I'm actually low on the Mariners. I played the Mariners under 83.5.
Got
A lot of people like the Mariners and they like their acquisitions and everybody's excited about J-Rod making the squad, but they kind of won with smoke and mirrors last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they can do it again. So I took them under 83.5. And Yeah, I took Syndergaard to win the Cy at 45-1. And I also took Urias to win the National League Cy Young at 20-1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like people talk Bueller. Obviously, with the Mets guys hurt, the odds are neither of them are going to win. You've got Luis Castillo is not in play. I think there are enough guys in the mix there to step up. Like I said, are they going to give it to Burns again? Mm-hmm. Probably not. But I think if you look at Urias, it's just his stuff. Like the postseason run a couple of years ago, when he was the Dodgers' best pitcher. I mean, Walker yes. Buehler is fantastic, but Urias, when they won the World Series, he was the best pitcher. And I think now, I think he can take that next step forward as he garners more of a role. I even played the Dodgers to win the World Series at +475 because
you love the Dodgers. You love betting the Dodgers.
Yeah, it was funny. I was joking as well with someone that I can't wait. And actually, it was Jeff Schwartz, who is a Giants fan, grew up in LA, and he's a Giants fan. And I said, I can't wait. I'm T minus 7 days till I get to lay like 1600 with the Dodgers in the fourth inning against someone. And he was just laughing. He's like, not with that bullpen. But I think with Kimbrel and some trying, and I think they've kind of shored it up a little bit. The lineup is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, they might get Dustin May back in August. They're going to be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like once they get there, I mean, I guess you can figure a money line rollover might be better off. But that's just like one of those things you bet it. But you tuck it away, and then come October, like when all of those bets that you made back here, like come back up to the top, you're like, oh, I have the Dodgers at nearly 5-1 to win the World Series when they're now 7-2. Or, oh, wow, I have Ronald Acuna to win the NL MVP at 750 when he's like 425. So you take a couple of chances on some shorter shots.
My two favorite overs are Phillies over 86.5 and the Angels over 83.5. You mentioned Seattle. You mentioned the A's. That's why I mean, you could be saying this for however many years. This is where the Angels step it up. I'm going to go in on it. I've laid off the last couple of years, mm-hmm. thank God, because I thought it was going to happen. Now that he's out of the NL East, I still think the world of Rendon, waiting yep. to see him healthy. So Phillies over. And Angels over, and then obviously my annual Mets under. I was able to grab it before the injury news, so I do have 91.5 there.
I was going to say it's 88.5 now, right?
88.5, yeah. So just just great, great optimism for the Mets. And I did see Ted Ganji at the Final Four.
He said he saw you.
we will trade numbers and go through our own list because I had it's funny. He was just ripping off names, and I was ripping off names.
It was the highlight of his trip. Let me tell you that.
So good. So good. That list he has.
You know, I'm kind of bummed because I was going to ask you, I was going to give you the Book of Bear prop, and I was going to have you bet it. I was going to say number of combined starts this year by Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer. And I was going to put it at 47.5. This was obviously before the injury news. But now obviously like off the board at the book of bear, but the DeGrom injury and the Scherzer injury robbed me of having some fun with you. So damn them.
I do remember speaking of injuries having a say in things. The first year Judge and Stanton were together, I remember they put out a number for combined homers.
Yep,
and mm-hmm. it was nuts, and it didn't even come close because. Both of them miss extended periods of time. I'm curious to see if anybody still puts that out because it's just a fascinating number when you saw it before it obviously happened. And we, you know, both guys unfortunately have struggled with injuries since they've been together. But the idea of seeing that number, you know, with 162 games, both guys, you know, thinking you're going to be in the lineup the majority of the time, it was pretty interesting. God, is that already like 4 years ago?
Yeah.
I want to say the number was close to like 80 too, and mm-hmm. it had no chance.
Yeah, but I think even talked about it on Daily Wager, and I think we both took, or you might have taken like a reverse psychology over.
Yeah, I think I had both guys to win MVP too. First time split MVPs, teammates.
It's funny because I remember my injury bet was, oh, goodness, it was probably whatever year Altuve missed like 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had his hit total like over. It was like 174 and a half or something like that. Mm. And I think he missed going over by like 8 hits, even missing a month. It was something ridiculous. Like you talk about like injuries just affecting something, but like had he missed like 2 weeks instead of 6 weeks, it would have gone flying over. So try to make Mariners under, Tigers under, Rockies over, Cubs under as well. Cubs aren't trying to win. Am I correct in reading the rotation properly that Marcus Stroman is their ace?
I think Hendricks.
Is he the number one?
Hendricks.
Yeah. And they got Drew Smiley, who he had a good run there. Was it Tampa where he was okay? And then
Cincinnati, I thought he was all right. Is that where he threw a no-hitter? Didn't he throw a no-hitter with them?
I don't think so.
Oh, my thing.
Yeah, Marcus Stroman, Justin Steele, Kyle Hendricks, Drew Smiley, Alec Bills, and then Miley and Alzolay are hurt.
Oh, Miley. That's who it is. I always get that.
Yeah.
Confused. Would you rather bet, taking your fandom outside of it, mm-hmm. over 91.5 for the Yanks or over 85.5 for the Sox?
I wouldn't bet over on the Yankees. I don't think the Yankees are very good. And then that's not like reverse psychology.
Is Severino ready to go?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right.
Hell no. He's got no shot. I'm not even convinced Cole's going to have a great year. I'd probably take the Sox. Lower number. I think they got a younger core. Now, I don't necessarily like their rotation at all. But I'd feel better about like Devers, Bogarts, Story, that core than the Yankees injury prone sluggers of Stanton and Judge. And like, how many games is Josh Donaldson going to play? I mean, give me a break. Yeah. But Sox are going to have to score some runs because that rotation's terrible.
Yeah. LeMahieu's like the guy for me with the Yankees. Like if he plays, it feels like it calms everybody else down. It helps the order. He could play anywhere. I just love what that guy brings to the table. Do you really feel Blue Jays win more games than the Rays?
Yes.
You do?
Okay. I do. I do. I think the Blue Jays are going to be really good. And I think some of the benefit in their win total is going to be just with where Canada is right now in terms of vaccinations. If there are teams that like, we can pretty much read between the lines that Aaron Judge isn't vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Yankees are going to have to go there without Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are a ton of teams out there that are not going to be able to bring some players there because they are not vaccinated because of Canada is it Canada or Ontario? I think it's Canada.
Yeah. It's Canada.
The vaccination deal. So that is a massive advantage for Toronto that they're for their 81 home games that they're going to be getting teams that aren't at full strength. But
I'm just happy for the Blue Jays that they get to play every home game in the same place. Finally,
exactly.
It's just been brutal. I can't imagine what it's been like for that team and knowing the youth they have and the talent. Like it's.
Oh, I played Bo Bichette, by the way, to lead the league in hits.
Okay.
11-1. Yeah, I played him. Played him at 11-1 to lead the majors in hits.
What would the number have to be for you to take the Orioles over?
Oof.
58.5.
Yeah, I go over 58.5.
Okay.
Yeah, I go over that.
I don't really want to.
I actually did not go under
this year
62.5 with them this year.
Okay. Just don't lose 100 games again. Ugh. Brutal.
That's disgusting.
All right. Let's try and give a Big Mike happy recap for the Masters and MLB.
Big Mike happy recap.
I will go to win Hovland, DJ, Cam Smith, Cantlay, Oosthuizen, Burns to miss the cut. Your Masters?
Cantlay win in top 10 and top 20. Morikawa win top 10, top 20. Rahm top 10 and to make an eagle. Scheffler top 20. Morikawa, Shoffley, Cantlay all finish in top 20 at plus 475. Kepka to make an eagle. Henley top 20, matchups Connors over Lowry, Koepka over Hovland, Neiman over M, and Na versus Webb.
All righty. And baseball, I will tell you, Olsen to win MVP. Angels over, Phillies over, Mets under. I want to take the Orioles over, but I'm not going to. And what did I say? Oh, those home run matchups.
Judge Devers, right?
Vlad over.
Alonso.
Soto over Acuna and Judge over Devers.
I got to go back and look at those after we're done here. My head was spinning last night seeing all those. Those are unbelievable. Like, my balance was getting pretty low pretty quick with all the between all the master stuff I played and the baseball pro. Time to make a deposit. By the way, what the hell's going on with LeBron, man? He's gonna have to play and like go for 50 the last couple of games to with Embiid playing. As long as I get either A, the Sixers to win the division, or LeBron to win the scoring title, I'll be okay. I just don't want to lose both. But anyway, back to baseball. Mm-hmm. Win totals: Mariners under, Tigers under, Cubs under, Rockies over. Home run title: Grichuk, Jimenez, Acuna, Lowe, Bichette to lead the majors in hits, Acuna NL MVP, Urias NL Cy, Syndergaard AL Cy, Dodgers to win the World Series.
Very good. Have you watched Winning Time on HBO at all?
No, I have not.
You have to.
Okay.
John C. Reilly as Jerry Buss is absolutely incredible. Incredible.
Really?
And the casting they've had, fine guys from Magic Johnson, guy who plays Kareem is phenomenal. And the fact that they got Norm Nixon's son to play Norm Nixon is awesome. Awesome. But they did an unbelievable job casting. It's as entertaining a show as I have watched. I understand it's not all true. I can't imagine Jerry West is happy with how he is being portrayed. But seriously, if you haven't watched it, you got to watch it. It's that entertaining of a show. And if you like John C. Reilly, it's even better. So that's my suggestion for the people out there.
I'll have to tune in. Thank you.
Have a good Masters week.
We will.
Do you make your own sweet tea?
No, I'll go to Chick-fil-A. Well, we're coming to your city. I will get a couple of chicken biscuits, and then I will add an egg white and a slice of American cheese, and I'll get the Swiss cheese. The guy at the Chick-fil-A loves me.
I bet he does.
He does. He'll tweet at me like, when are you coming back? We like having conversations. Georgia fan, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. Yeah, this is an awesome week, man.
Yeah.
Champions League, Masters, baseball opening up. Oh, by the way, your boy's hopping over the pond next week. Well, we're coming to your city. Your boy's going to the second leg. He's going to Liverpool, Benfica, at Anfield.
Keep the laser pointers at home, people.
No, exactly. There'll be no laser pointers. Jeez. No laser pointers there. Nice, tidy 3-1 win yesterday. So I can't imagine how pumped the place will be if they happen to win in Manchester on Sunday against City. It would be insane.
One other mention I just want to get in. If you don't have the ESPN app and you're a golf person, please get it for this week. I think... Yep. Among college football, golf is the best thing we do at ESPN, and with the app and with the feature groups and then a live camera on every single shot of Amen Corner. One of my TVs will be on that all weekend. It's that good, and you're not going to get it anywhere else. You could try and go on the internet, do it. Just get the ESPN app. It's that good. It's one of the best things we do, and I'm fired up for those people because I know how fired up they are to be there and have – capacity crowds back and all that good stuff. So shout out to the crew down at Augusta and room for them to have an awesome broadcast as it usually happens and turns out at that magnificent place.
It is. It's an awesome experience. And hopefully everybody who loves golf can get to experience it once. But yeah, the ESPN Plus, I just doubt if you don't have it, just get it. Why don't you have it by now? Yeah. Just go get it.
All right. Very well. Enjoy a great week. Bear, take us away.
Less you bet, more you lose when you win.
You can listen or follow the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, don't miss more from Stanford Steve on ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And check out the Bear on College Game Day on ESPN.